We Talk Podcast presents
Do welcome to Stick Boy and the One Fall Podcast with me, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, and the one, the only, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Not too bad, Joel. It is, in the words of Gorilla Monsoon, a happening.
Yeah, like, we went from 0 to 60, like, well, not 0 to 60.
0 to 100 real quick. Oh. Real quick.
It just went like, holy crap. We've just been holding on. This podcast has been building up. You and me have been anticipating finally getting to do this, and here it is, finally.
This podcast kind of contributes to everything that happened January 4th, and the month of January as a whole. Starting here on Stick Boy, New Japan, in mini invasion in a way, everything, the Royal Rumble build-up, new WWE champion. Whew!
I feel like all of this has put a little rocket on Stick Boy and sent it up, flying off into the We Talk Podcast universe. And I did not expect it to be like this. I thought it was going to be a nice little weekly podcast where we're not going to be sitting there going at 11 p.m. going, we have to add another part to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to add a part to this podcast because we waited.
Don't you dare jinx it.
Oh, God.
You jinxed it. Damn it, Joel.
What do you think? Okay, this will be a fun little game to start the pod then. What news is going to break, do you think?
I don't know, man. We have actually a lot of good news to get to today. I think a lot of sticking points. I think the best part about this is a lot of news that you and I had talked about over the past 2 months. It's kind of been wrapped into a nice little bubble. And we'll get to the news. You know, we have news on Nakamura. We have news on AJ Styles. We have news on Dave Bautista. We have news all over the place.
News on Dave Bautista? I haven't heard this, so I'm interested.
Yes. We'll get to that news. News on Jeff Hardy.
Well, yeah, I think I already know that. But
we will get to all of that. But first, let's get to the Royal Rumble.
Is that the first pay-per-view you and me sat there and watched the whole thing and didn't go, this was crap?
WrestleMania.
Yeah, but that's WrestleMania. I think
SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam we enjoyed.
Yeah, you know, there's stuff that happens up and down. You know, it is what it is. And, I mean, NXT things don't really count either.
No.
But to be fair, yes, there's been more, at times, lows and highs. You know, 2015, you know, ratings gone down and live attendance actually stayed pretty decent, actually, but you know, creative was a little questionable.
Yep.
At times it was kind of a down period, but 2016, like we said, is just kind of smacked in the face, and it all started with a pay-per-view of the year contender really early. I know it's only the start of the year, and I think there's gonna be a lot of good shows, but good start for the WWE, one for one so far.
Yep. It can only, well, it can get worse.
It can get worse.
Oh, no. What?
Nakamura could come out with, like, a Chinese dragon, kind of like Chinese New Year thing as his entrance, with, like, little symbols playing in the background. And then AJ could become, like, a fighter pilot or something.
You know, let's go back to the Royal Rumble and the start of the card, which was a great start to it.
Absolutely. Last man standing match, which makes the most sense because KO and Ambrose would have to be in the Royal Rumble match itself later on, which gave them a chance to
wrestle.
Try to recoup as much as they could.
Yeah. It was a physical match. There were crazy bumps. They beat the crap out of each other. It was everything you wanted in a last man standing match. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, and I think I can't complain. I see that, and I go, that was a good last man standing match.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even complaining about who won it. I think
No, KO I going, think it makes the most sense.
No, I totally agree with you. KO goes through two tables. I don't want him to suddenly pop back up like he's Super Cena.
No.
So
no one should survive that spot, because every single time you set up a two-spot table, you want that to be like, that's the doom spot. And if you do have someone ever jump out of it, then it's going to mean that much more. It's like, oh, no one ever gets up from that.
Yeah, and it just creates that aura and that moment that you're like, this, that was cool. Oh, there are those tables. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? How is it going to play out? Ambrose picked up the win. What was our predictions? Do you remember?
On that one, we picked Kevin Owens, and our friend Paul picked Dean Ambrose.
So we were 0 for 1, both.
Oh, I already had won earlier because I picked Swagger and Mark Henry.
Yeah.
So at that point, I was 1-1. Joel only got one right on the pay-per-view itself.
I took some risks, and it didn't pay off. But
no.
The next match, which I enjoyed as well, there were a lot of matches that I'm like, I enjoyed that match. The New Day defending their tag team titles against the Usos, in which they retained. It was a fun tag team match.
It's a fun tag team match. I think we're just starting to see these teams get together, as we kind of saw on Raw and on SmackDown. The two of these teams are just kind of starting. I think they're going to be part of something bigger heading into WrestleMania. They work well together. And, yeah, great match. New Day retains. Gave me my second win, Joel. Still blanked at that point. And, yeah, you know, fun match.
Yep, fun little match. Nothing that's going to be too memorable for a match.
Francesca returned.
Yep, well, that's probably going to be the biggest moment.
Francesca 2.0.
Yeah. Oh, Francesca. It was good to see her back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no.
Alberto Del Rio defends...
Alberto Del Rio!
Defends his U.S. title against the Lucha Kalisto. Dragon member, Kalisto.
Are there Lucha Dragons anymore, though?
I think they are. Well, maybe
what
not.
What happened to Sin Cara?
Sin Cara separated his shoulder.
Of course he did. Mr. Injury himself. Well, the biggest Band-Aid in the WWE.
Well, the first one got injured and would stop matches. Like, my wrist hurts. I can't wrestle. This Sin Cara at least kind of guts his way through. So
I think they both just get injured.
Yeah, that mask is cursed.
Apparently so. Maybe it's cursed from the Scooby-Doo movie.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, this match is fine. They gave the title back to Kalisto. I don't know what we can talk about the flip-flopping if we want. I think we've talked enough about that.
Yeah.
I think, good, Kalisto has the title. Get it off Del Rio. I think Del Rio has been getting a little bit better in the ring.
It was still a sloppy match at times.
Yeah, I think... They need to get that title away from Del Rio now. He's not going to feud with John Cena anymore, or Juan Cena, like he likes to call him. And let's get Del Rio away and start heating him back up.
Yep.
And let Kalisto be fun with the kids and start heating him up as a champion, maybe with a feud against Neville.
Yeah. No, and I don't disagree. I think the potential for Kalisto, this is a mid-card title for him, so it's not like it's too big of a deal. John Cena really was a staple for this U.S. title in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, let's see what Kalisto can do. Maybe he can take the ball and run with it. I don't expect him to reach the John Cena level, but I think
that's pretty hard.
Help carry that title for a couple months and add some value to it again.
Yeah, I agree. And our final match of the evening, and that one Joel had picked. I think all of us picked Del Rio, so we're all wrong on that one. And the next one was Charlotte and Becky Lynch. You know, the match was fine, but Joel, it's really what came after that was the most important.
You could not hear Sasha Banks' music to start. The crowd lost it. And I think you and me lost it. That was our first mark-out moment.
That was pretty crazy because, you know, it's you and I have had the dream of Sasha or Charlotte or some kind of idea of even Becky included in it for WrestleMania, even going back to last year. You know, you go back and check the old pods and on Fresh Take, you can find them on there. Before the switch over to Stick Boy, we had been wanting this match for a year now to be at WrestleMania, and it seems that we're on our road to it.
It's finally happening, Josh. It's real. It's
still real to me, damn it!
You know, when we were sitting there, we were kind of talking, oh, someone's going to come out. And I think it was you that said, Sasha. And we were just sitting there, and it didn't look like Sasha was coming out.
No, it kind of just looked like a beatdown angle, because it was like, she's beating on Becky, and it's like, okay, well, someone's coming down. And I'm like, oh, maybe Sasha, maybe it's time. You know, we've had heard a little bit of injury rumors and stuff. And then kind of Charlotte just posed, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess not. And we were kind of getting ready for the numbers video, and lo and behold, the boss herself.
And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. It was, she is not a straight-laced baby face. She has heel tendencies. She's
a tweener.
And it's perfect. It's exactly what we need from Sasha Banks. It's like a female version of Eddie Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
No low riders, though, but I think we can live without them.
Maybe one day. Maybe her and her Uncle Snoop will come out in one.
That wouldn't be bad, you know.
Nope.
I wouldn't complain, but when she came out, that crowd just lost it. You can tell that Sasha means something.
That I mean, that's what you could use at WrestleMania, by the way, Joel. If Charlotte came out with Flair and Sasha came out with Snoop.
Oh, yeah, that would be perfect.
Why not, right?
Yeah. I think we're going to get a triple threat, so you got to...
At Mania?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe Foley's been plugging Becky a lot.
I'm just wondering, what do you do with other divas, though? Are we going to get two diva matches, you think?
Maybe. I think...
Does another Paige turn happen and we get Paige and Natty?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, Paige is getting to that level of the Big Show, where turns happen left and right, so...
Yeah, I think... You know, we saw Natty on SmackDown tonight, and I don't want to jump too far ahead of that. I thought that match was done way too early. I think you need to save someone like Natty and bring her back up. But just kind of looking at this, what they have here, and looking at WrestleMania, you said the triple threat. I think there's a possibility. They've been telling this story with Natty and Becky Lynch, how they go way back.
Nah.
And I could see maybe something between Natty and Becky Lynch at Mania.
Yeah, that's a possibility too.
Yeah.
They're planting little seeds.
It's kind of hard to imagine no Paige.
Yeah, I think Paige has to have...
Brie, I would understand. If Foxy, I understand not being there. But it'd be hard to see Paige out of the equivalent of it.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. I think she should play some role. But Sasha Banks is going to get a massive pop at WrestleMania.
Sasha Banks is going to hit the pop and put my plan into here. I think Sasha's going to win the title at Mania. And then guess who comes out the next night on Raw to challenge her?
Camilla?
Drop the music right here. Everyone's so happy when they hear this music. Bailey.
Oh, yeah. And you know what would be funny is if you build it up, and they're one of the key matches at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. So it's a year after their phenomenal match in Brooklyn.
Good call.
Yeah. You finally build up to that final confrontation there. It's magic, and I'm already getting goosebumps and excited for this match, and it hasn't even been confirmed yet. We don't know if Bayley will ever come up to the roster.
And another women's match you could have at SummerSlam is maybe Nikki versus Charlotte. Kind of have Nikki blame Charlotte for her neck injury.
Yep. And there you go. You've got another storyline added, and you can tie in the father and the boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's weird because they've never associated on the product Nikki and Cena. They've associated Brian and Brie, but never Nikki and Cena. It's never been associated on WWE television except for Total Divas.
Yeah, it's definitely weird that they haven't. But, you know,
it is. I think it's because Nikki's been such a heel, and you don't want to put her associated with the top baby face.
Yeah, that's true. But I will say that match, it was a decent women's match, but man, that pop afterwards, Marshall moment.
It was all about what afterwards. And I think, you know, the Diva Revolution, it's finally moving in the direction that we wanted. You know, the tag teams have been spared away, and now it's all about the wrestling and the great, like the Becky and Charlotte storyline was beautifully done. It was great. And now we get to have Sasha and Charlotte, maybe these two, the two biggest stars at one point down there when we had the pinnacle of this. I mean, you and I like Bayley and Sasha the most, but Charlotte with her, they had some terrific matches down there, and looking forward to seeing the two of them together on the main roster.
Yeah. The potentials are endless. This is definitely an exciting time, and I agree with you. It was good that the tag teams are rid of. It's now time to just let them wrestle. Mm-hmm. And boy, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's move on to the Rumble.
There was nothing big in that Royal Rumble match at all. It was nothing. Like the last 2 years. Total crap, right?
Total crap the last 2 years. They didn't give the fans what they wanted. You know, and I think a big problem, and it's unfortunate to say the problem, was Daniel Bryan. You know, the first time with the Batista win, the fans wanted Bryan. He never came out. Poor Rey Mysterio got booed. CM Punk got chokeslammed by Kane, and we haven't seen him since.
Don't know where he is.
Where'd he go? And then last year, you know, they tried everything they could do to get Roman over. But again, I think that, like, a lot of people say that they're mad that Roman won. I think it's more Bryan throwing out way too early by Bray Wyatt. Bryan was in there for something like 10 minutes. You know, going into this year, we had a lot of rumors about Daniel Bryan. No Daniel Bryan at all. And before we get going, that was absolutely the right decision, Joel.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with you, because the crowd sees Bryan, you see this big surprise, and you instantly think, oh, he's going to win, and then people get that into their heads, mm-hmm. and then they see the trees, but they don't see the forest.
Yeah, on Dave Meltzer's radio show after the Rumble, the question he was asked the most was about Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Interesting, I got to tie this in because you mentioned him, so I might as well throw it out there. Basically, what I've heard was Vince McMahon has told Bryan that there is no way we are clearing you.
Mm. Who is this from?
Meltzer. This was from the Wrestling Observer.
I recently? Double check
him. Yep.
Because I know as of a day or so ago, he had gone to an MMA doctor in New York now.
Yeah, Brian's going to every doctor possible, but Vince...
It doesn't matter unless Dr. Maroon gives you it. You can go to every doctor. You can go to Dr. Andrews, Dr. Emmett Brown, Doctor Who, Dr. Egon Spencer. Doesn't matter what doctor you go to. Unless Dr. Octopus, it doesn't matter unless his name is Dr. Maroon.
Yeah. And basically, I've heard that they have offered Brian non-wrestling roles, and mm-hmm. Brian's trying to fight it. Brian's trying to voice his case, and it's just getting shot down.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's got to be really frustrating for him too, you know, in the fact that, you know, he had a great run when he was at the company. He still is, but when he was there, you know, there was great talent. But now it must be the most frustrating thing for him because he's never really had anything serious against Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn or Austin Aries or Samoa Joe or another guy we're about to talk about.
Yeah. Because can I tell a little story? Do you mind? It ties into the Rumble. This is all going to move forward, so don't worry.
As long as you're not hinting on that special guest, because I got a nice little set piece for it.
Oh, well, it does kind of tie into that.
Okay, well, we'll move on from Bryan, and you can come back to that. Let me just set the piece of the Rumble, and you can go right in.
Okay.
So we start the Rumble off, and Roman Reigns comes out. Banner, banner, bam, bam. Comes out. Ho-hum, whatever. First guy that faces him comes out. We're like, it'll be someone from the League of Nations. Maybe Sheamus. Maybe Del Rio. Sure enough, it's Rusev. I have a lot of stuff to rant about Rusev and what they did to him this week.
Oh, yeah.
We'll save that for a bit about a segment from Raw. Rusev, thrown right off. All of us are kind of a little upset about that because I think everyone there likes Rusev quite a bit.
Yep.
And so at that time, the counter's going down to like, again, number three is coming out. We're like, well, this is probably going to be Sheamus or Del Rio, stack the League of Nations kind of thing. And lo and behold, we start hearing this choir music. And Joel and I kind of give each other a look. And at first, I was kind of like, I think as soon as I heard the choir music, I'm like, oh my God, it's him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even before once the crowd popped, I'm like, yep, it's fucking him. I still needed to see him. But once I heard the choir music, I knew. I like that it was AJ Styles.
Yeah.
See, I want to know your thoughts quickly in that moment. What you thought, going through your mind.
What was going through my mind was, as some of you may know, as hinted at the last podcast, me, Josh, and our friend Paul play a little game where we pick numbers for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So we had, because we knew who number one was and it was Roman, we were kind of like, well, if you take Roman, you have to take 1, 2, and 3. So I end up drafting Roman number one spot. And basically the points are the eliminations, you get 1 point, and if you win, you get 20. I didn't win. I'm not too upset.
Because I got Triple H!
And I ended up with... And I remember you sitting there looking at me going, oh, you got Roman. Oh, you got 1 point because he eliminated Rusev.
And we all thought it was Sheamus.
And then when you heard the music and you're sitting there like, I swear to God, if you got him...
Yeah.
And then out comes AJ Styles. One of the biggest pops I've heard in the modern era in quite some time.
Yeah, it was pretty damn big. I think, you know, a lot of people are saying like, oh, that was just a smart crowd and that was Orlando. It doesn't matter what it was. It was a pop, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. You can say that crowd, that little crowd of 1,500 people in Orlando popped.
Mm-hmm.
His shirt sold out in less than 24 hours.
Yep. He's not the only one this week that sold out a shirt. Yeah. Talk about that in a bit, though.
So, AJ Styles debuts. We see AJ Styles in a WWE ring. He was in a WWE ring, and he came in, and you could see that he's still got some work to do, but you got to see him go toe-to-toe with Chris Jericho and Roman Reigns.
And Curtis Axel. Really quickly, the rewind now. We were talking about Brian. I think you had a tie-in with Brian and Styles.
Yeah.
So I'll go back with that now.
No, the story was the Styles.
Styles thing, yeah. And then, again, just going back to Brian, that's the biggest bummer here because AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan. It's just like drool.
Oh, the two of them could work half an hour, and I wouldn't be bored. I'd be like, can I have more, please?
Just to say one more thing to Brian, because I don't want to make it it seems like a rewinding topic that we talk about every week, and I think we will until he gets cut.
Yeah.
I think the WWE, if they're not going to clear him, if this guy wants to get wrestle, and, you know, if you don't think it's safe, then you have to do your due diligence, and you have to cut him.
Yep.
Because if you don't want to be on his watch, he's going to be a pain in your ass. He's not going to cooperate. Let him go.
Yep. He's not going to be the fun little media.
No, goat. He won't be what Hogan or Flair you want them to be. Yeah. He's not ready to be an ambassador. Maybe one day you can call him back and he'll be the ambassador. But right now he doesn't want to be an ambassador. He just wants to wrestle.
Yeah.
And that's for Ring of Honor. If that's for Japan, maybe he just needs to go to Ring of Honor Japan for 2 years, and for them to be like, okay, he's looking good. We'll bring him back.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that simple.
Or it just doesn't work.
Or it just doesn't work, and maybe the next time we see him, it's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Like, you know, Bryan Danielson, has had a fantastic career. Mm-hmm. You look at everything, and that's one of the things that tie in with AJ Styles and moving forward, is these guys had a fantastic career outside of WWE. Bryan did a lot of things for New Japan. He did a lot of things for ROH that you're like, no, this guy was a big deal. Not on the WWE level, but he's still on a big deal, and it sucks, but it's almost time to go. We need to, you need to shit or get off the pot. It's as simple
exactly.
as that.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on from Brian, because we got a lot to cover here. AJ Styles comes out. It was, pardon the pun, phenomenal. Good to see him. The Rumble continued on. And then we get our next biggest surprise. Only really two big surprise, three, if you think Triple H is a surprise. For some people, he was.
Yeah.
But for us, there was really only two in AJ. I guess in a way we anticipated AJ, but we're still like with the TNA stuff, which we'll talk about in a bit. It was kind of up in the air. You were kind of worried.
Yeah.
I think the biggest surprise, like the actual, like you and I didn't see it coming, was Sami Zayn.
Yep. I looked at you before the match started, and I said Sami Zayn, and you said no chance.
Yeah, because I thought I was worried about his arm still, and he's kind of in that number one contender stuff in NXT. But sure enough, they bring him down, and it was great to see Sami go right ahead of Kevin Owens. And you know, Joel, a lot of people have complained that they never did a piece with it. I like it because it's like, no, they're not going to do him and Kevin Owens right now. But it's still there for the main people on the roster. And they're like, these two don't like each other. So when he does come up, he's like, oh, that's Sami Zayn guy. He doesn't like Kevin Owens. And it's constantly teasing it and building it up.
Like, I think the biggest thing that kind of made me feel, oh, this is this may be building towards something, was that little video from the house show that NXT mm-hmm. did, where mm-hmm. KO showed up and did the little spiel about how Vince McMahon doesn't know who Sami is, and then Sami mm-hmm. hits him with a haluva kick
yeah.
and sends him scurrying away.
Mm.
It was just perfect. Like, when you saw Sami, and you saw the serious face on Sami, and you saw Kevin Owens' eyes go a little wide, and you're like, oh boy, they're gonna go at it. And that's all you need from them. They played a role in the Royal Rumble, and they're building towards something down the line. It's gonna be stock footage to use in vignettes when you need to use it.
Absolutely. Now, another part of the Royal Rumble, we're gonna go a little bits here. Brock Lesnar's use. I haven't talked to you about this. Kind of disappointed. Because yeah, that's the first time he seemed kind of human. He gets knocked out, you know, and he comes in the Roman, destroys shit, suplexes people, all that stuff. But, you know, when the Wyatts eliminate him, you and I thought, oh my God, he's going to tear everything apart. He's going to run back in there and rip their heads off. Just walks off.
Yeah.
Wasn't a fan of that.
No. Like, looking at Brock Lesnar, he drew number 23, and he was 21st elimination. He lasted mm-hmm. a total of 8 minutes and 13 seconds in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't destroy anything. He walked away.
Mm-hmm. It's very weird.
Yeah, it was the first, I think, Brock, I feared this, but I was like, well, we'll wait and see. But I feared that Brock may be hitting a bit of a...
staleness?
Yeah. He may have hit a brick wall. I think you're going to have to retool him a little bit, but you got to grow and evolve, and I think you can grow and evolve with Brock Lesnar.
I think the problem is who he's facing, too. You know,
yeah.
The Wyatts is, I think, you know, the Wyatts' kind of last chance is facing Undertaker and Kane. For us, it's like they should have won that match.
Yeah.
But they wanted to do Undertaker's 25 years strong with Kane by his side. Had the Wyatts have won that match and then they started destroying the Dudleys, it would have been great, but they just destroyed the Dudleys. And we kind of see through the Wyatt bullshit. All it is constantly is like, we'll feed them to the lion, and then they'll get destroyed by the lion, then they go to the next lion. So they went to the lion that was Roman Reigns, slaughtered. They went to the lion that was The Undertaker, slaughtered. Then they went to the little lion pup that was the Dudley boys. They slaughtered the pup.
Yeah.
But now they got to go back up to the lion, and the lion is going to slaughter them. Again.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing last year, too. The little lion pup of Dean Ambrose.
Yep.
Slaughtered him, but then when it came to facing Taker, he got slaughtered.
Yep.
So it's really hard to take the Wyatts seriously.
No, and I totally agree with you. It's been so up and down for booking that's like, it's hard to finally pin down. Are they the Ministry of Darkness? Are they this creepy stable that we should all be afraid of, or should we remember that the Undertaker was able to choke slam
all four?
Yeah,
I think too. Like you say, like, well, maybe they have to be Brock, but I think that's the worst idea ever. Even if it's all four of them to be Brock, I just think you can't have Brock lose to them. That Brock win, whoever gets it, it's a piece of the streak. It's a part of taming the beast. You need to keep Brock hot.
Oh yeah,
and continue him going. And whoever gets that. Like we said, I think it's a little piece of the streak that you get as well, still.
Oh, yeah. Brock Lesnar is still very much relevant, and you beat Brock Lesnar, you can say, I beat Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll keep up there on that, and then I think the Roman Reigns spot, I think that was taking them out by the League of Nations. You and I had wondered, we were driving to my spot to watch the thing, we're like, is Roman really going to last in this thing for an hour? He doesn't seem to have the endurance for such a match. He's kind of got that somewhat Goldberg type of demeanor in a match.
Yeah.
And I think that was just an easy, it was a smart spot just to, you know, let him rest.
It totally was, and it was just kind of one of those things where I'm like, oh, because I drafted him, and I'm like, I'm going to get a bunch of no, he's going through the table.
And then finally, Triple H came out, won the whole thing, eliminated Reigns, and was in the ring with Ambrose at the end, which I really like that twist.
Yeah, it wasn't that typical face-off between the two, because you needed to have that little bit of a twist to it, because people kind of saw it coming. Mm-hmm. If you suddenly have Dean Ambrose, Dean Ambrose kind of made you a little nervous at times.
Yeah, the crowd was kind of like, maybe this is the swerve, and maybe Dean Ambrose wins this, and then they start to... I think even you and I were kind of at one point, we're like, are they going to do Dean versus Roman? You know, at one point, we're like, okay, well, they're doing Dean and Jericho. But then I think there was a part where you, me, and Paul looked at each other like, maybe they're doing Roman and Dean.
Yeah.
And obviously they didn't, and we're going to get Triple H and Roman. Seems the most obvious, but we'll talk about that with Raw. But, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people have complained. You know, Triple H getting the title and all that stuff. I think 110% it was the absolute right decision.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think it was absolutely the way to go with things. It's totally, like, I hate even saying it because I'm not a fan of him having the title. It was what needed to happen to further the Roman Reigns story. Because if Hunter doesn't lay down at Royal Rumble, then I start having issues. Hunter lays down
at Mania, you mean?
At Mania.
Yeah.
If he doesn't lay down at Mania, then I have issues.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does lay down at Mania, let Roman get his moment in the sun, and Roman has the title, and it's all well and good, then I'm happy with it, because you helped contribute to the building of Roman Reigns, which you and me and both have had conversation. He's good for the little kids.
Yeah.
I don't care. I have AJ Styles, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I know for a fact, again, I bring Bill Simmons' kid in there. I was really disappointed with Roman leaving, because, you know, saying his kid is devastated that Cena went out, so... See, now they've gravitated to Roman Reigns, and that's cool. I kind of watching SmackDown tonight, you know, I look, and I'm like, that's cool. Roman's for the kids, and they like him. I'll watch AJ Styles. I'll watch Kevin Owens. I'll watch my guys. They'll be in the world title picture eventually. Let Roman do his thing, because no matter what, Joel, through the panels of time in wrestling, we're always going to have one of those guys. There's nothing we can do about it.
No, we have to
realize there's more than just us, the smarks, the internet kind of fans, whatever you want to label us. There's going to be other type of fans out there.
Oh yeah,
and you can't just put the product just to us. No. Maybe we're the vocal minority, and we can take over the crowds more than little kids can. But you have to also go to them, and I think that's what they're doing right now with Roman Reigns. And I'm not a huge fan of the character, but I 100% get it.
No, and you know what? I totally agree with you. The Roman Reigns character is meant for kids. It is that John Cena character that maybe he ages like wine, and we really start to gravitate towards him.
But it's funny, because we're starting to like Cena. You and I were kind of bummed when Cena got hurt. We're like, oh, I was starting to like John.
Well, there was all the rumors of John Cena, AJ Styles. Yay, this will happen.
I think too, like, it's something that you and I had talked about with Roman. It's Cena was just organic that it happened. You know, I think, you know, it was fun to boo him because it's just kind of what you did. I don't think I've ever vitriously despised the John Cena character. No. It was like, I'm supposed to boo you because that's what I'm supposed to do, but I still respect the hell out of you, even though you're good. So when he would feud with Edge, or feud with Punk, or feud with whoever, I still was like, damn you, John Cena. I love you. You're great. I respect you. But I know I have to boo you. And with Roman Reigns, it's like when I was a little kid with Lex Luger. I'm like, well, this guy's obviously trying to be Hulk Hogan. And Roman Reigns is trying to be John Cena. We've said it a million times. Go, Joel.
It is pretty much, it is, we have Lex Luger all over again, and we had our Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. Bret Hart has a concussion right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a few other Bret Harts on this roster that can fill that void. But I think we're going to get it, but... You know, the cream always rises to the top.
Oh, yeah.
So, no matter
there's too what... There's too much talent on this roster. You know, I think the difference between what John had, you look at the guys that were chasing John's, all respect to them. But you had a Morrison, an MVP, a Masters, a Shelton.
Carlito.
You know, you still had Shawn Michaels and Jeff Hardy, who definitely hit that point. But the talent that was under him wasn't anywhere near what the talent is right now. Yeah. You know, you have AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor. I can go on and on and on. I mean, who knows? Maybe a guy like Dolph Ziggler gets his game back up. That's another guy that maybe they'll watch out for. Yep. You know, Alberto Del Rio, I still have a lot of faith that he can be rehabbed.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you.
Like, there's guys that it's lonely at the top, like they like to say, and it definitely is that for Roman. And the good thing is, like, they need a few more heels, but, and that's not even mentioning also a Nakamura and the rest of the Bullet Club that could come in.
It's definitely going to be a very interesting. It's going to be very hard to stay on top because it's now getting to that point where you have to deliver night in and night out, mm-hmm. and you have to connect. You have to sell merchandise. You have to get the crowd behind you. If you're not getting the crowd behind you, the crowd's not going to buy in. If the crowd's not buying in, they're not buying your merchandise, and suddenly sales start going down and people are like, well, who do we blame? Mm-hmm. World heavyweight champion. We need to move the title. And they're going to move the title.
What did you think about Roman's performance overall in the Rumble? I didn't really think it was very memorable.
No, it was...
I thought the most memorable people in the Rumble to me... I thought Braun Strowman... Some people weren't very impressed with his wrestling ability, but I thought I think they've done a good job of keeping him strong.
Yep.
I was impressed by Braun just keeping strong. Obviously, AJ... Jericho lasted 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is fun. It was terrific. I keep on saying phenomenal for some reason. I wonder why. I thought that, you know, Sheamus at times looked a little strong, so I like that they're kind of somewhat keeping him somewhat strong if the rumors about who he's facing are possibly true. Gross. And Brock for being in and out. And then, you know, Hunter, he, you know, had a little bit of ring rust on him. Struggled with the pedigree at times, but you know, I've always been a fan of Hunter, and you know, it was good to see him back in the ring. I'd like to see him in one or two more matches, or do you think you just save Hunter just for Mania?
Well, apparently he's doing house shows, and he's apparently working in Abbotsford.
Really? Who's he working with?
Don't know. This may be a glitch in the system. They may have just announced it and it's not actually going to come to fruition, but apparently he's working out shows.
Abbotsford, BC?
Yeah.
Weird.
He might be at the Calgary show.
It's a Calgary I'm going. I've never seen Triple H wrestle. I've seen him on a show. I've never seen him wrestle, though.
I get to come to boo him, right?
That's the point of him, man.
Yay.
I think that's what he wants.
There's going to be no tricks.
Orlando definitely didn't go that way because I think Hunter maybe got the second or third biggest pop of the night.
Yeah.
And that's because he's the NXT savior, though. That's the problem, is that when you see Triple H in Orlando, you get confused. You're like, oh, this is the guy that brought NXT to us. Of course I'm going to cheer him.
Yeah. And Roman got booed at the Royal Rumble. Make no mistake about it.
And they were very worried about that. Yeah. And, you know, you watch SmackDown tonight, and the piped-in audio was very loud for Hunter boos. You can see the crowd doing nothing. And very loud for anybody out of anyone. It was for Roman. And I went and read some of the spoilers after. And guess who the number one pop was for SmackDown on Tuesday?
I'm going to go with a phenomenal.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal one because Roman got booed.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be... You know, they kind of did this with Cena where they kind of started piping in. You just got to let it naturally happen. Mm-hmm. If they're going to boo Roman, it's their choice. You're going to keep going with them. You're going to ride the Roman train for as long as possible, so don't cover it up. Just kind of keep going and hope for the best.
I think you could maybe – we'll talk about this down the road, but maybe the night after WrestleMania I think is when you do the Dean turn.
Yeah. Or the Roman turn.
Maybe. We talked enough about that. We're probably only half an hour. We're not even half into this.
We are currently – we're about 40 minutes in.
We're probably going to have to break this into two.
I think we probably do this.
I guess SmackDown's not that big. No. Raw.
Here, quickly before we move on to Raw, I just want to get final rating for the Royal Rumble. Did you like it? Did you not?
Yeah, I'll give it 10 seconds. 8 out of 10. Great show. Good to see AJ back. Good matches. Solid from the bottom to top. Had no complaints about anything at any point.
Same with me. It's probably an 8.5. I enjoyed every matches. Last Man Standing stood out. The AJ Styles pop was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Everything that needed to happen happened, and like Meltzer had said, everyone came into that Royal Rumble with a purpose.
I was
going to
say, yeah.
And it delivered. And I'm excited to see what we get in Fastlane. Like, you guys seem to kind of get their head out of their ass a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be positive moving forward.
Absolutely. All right. Monday Night Raw opened up with a Triple H promo. I thought Hunter did a really good job of trying to heal himself off. And I like the whole McMahonism is back, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only been 10 years since him and Shane took on HBK and God.
I remember. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was bad. That was the one time as a somewhat religious guy that I was like, oh, WWE, you're really testing me right now.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly the classiest moment. But Monday Night Raw, I think there were some highs and lows. It wasn't a perfect show.
But going back to the start, though, like, what did you think about the Hunter promo? I really liked the touch of him coming out in the suit and showing the belt.
Yeah.
It was a very, because they need to heat him up and become a heel, and the fans are kind of mixed what to do with Hunter right now. I like that move. It was a cocky move saying that the suit has the title.
Yeah, it's the suit has the title. Roman is the everyday man, even mm-hmm. though he's not.
Mm-mm.
You know, his promo was good because he basically said what everyone on the internet was saying. And he just mm-hmm. delivered it. And he's like, yep, you're right.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. He healed him up. Yeah, it was one of the better Triple H promos we've seen.
Yep.
And then let's talk
Vince
about
Vince McMahon. What line did he have?
Something about like why he had a line about people whining.
I'm going to make a conscious effort to at least have one Vince McMahon impression on the podcast as long as Vince is on TV.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna have our worst character of the year, and I may have to give it to Vince McMahon next year. But at the same time, it's with all the love in the world. I think the third or fourth markup moment of the night for us of the Royal Rumble, going back for a second, is when they show the Canto 3. And yeah. He's like, everyone, it's me, it's McMahon.
Oh, Vince.
Just seeing him do this voiceover for this children's show was terrific.
When I saw that trailer, I had to look at you right away. I was like, oh, God. What's this going to create?
Yeah. So AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. You know, a lot of praise on the internet. I thought it was kind of a sloppy match. I didn't think AJ got as much as he should have into it. I thought at times Jericho looked a little lost during the match as well. I think it was just kind of a clash of styles. I think AJ's still kind of used to his Japan style. So maybe it was good to be in with Jericho because Jericho can get a little stiff as well and has worked that Japan style.
Yeah.
Overall, you know, for the first time in the ring, he it was fine. I just thought they could have given a little bit more to AJ. I thought that Jericho was getting a lot of the offense.
Yeah.
And I thought you should have showcased off AJ a little bit more.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of the AJ Styles moveset that were from.
And it hurt by Michael Cole not knowing moves. AJ hit the Pele kick, and it took him about 2 minutes to really like, oh, yeah, that was the Pele kick. It's like, oh, that really hurt, and you could tell the difference.
Yeah.
Watching Mauro Ranallo call it, having called his New Japan scenes on Access Television, and I'm going to just gloat about Mauro Ranallo later on, but him calling that AJ match, I could listen to him call AJ matches for the rest of my life.
I think he could call matches between the Gobbledygooker and a mop,
mm-hmm.
and it would be okay. It would be entertaining.
Yeah, we'll get tomorrow in a second.
But I totally agree with you. I'm not going to disagree with you at all on the AJ match. It felt a little sloppy, and mm-hmm. my biggest thing was it's just like Dougie Hamilton at the Calgary Flames reference. It mm-hmm. it took him a little bit of time to gel with his team, and now mm-hmm. he's starting to gel with the team, and it's all good. AJ Styles is going to be the same way. He's going to take a little bit of time, gel, but once he gels, he's gotten over everywhere else. He's going to get over here too.
I mean, it's the first day of school for him, you know? Like, I had heard today that, you know, he showed up at the Royal Rumble and showed up at Raw for the meeting, and he's kind of hit in the back, and, you know, he knows a few people here and there, but, you know, not fully keeping to himself, but, you know, trying not to get into trouble, and he really hasn't, you know, just jumped right into the roster and made a bunch of friends and stuff like that. You know, he's still kind of finding himself and getting used to and being where he's going to be.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have friends coming in March, so.
Yeah, and you know, he's worked with Kevin Owens before. Yeah, I'm sure he knows Dean Ambrose. We know he knows Austin Creed from TNA times. You know, Chris Jericho seems to be a nice little mentor for him. So, you know, the place is going to be a welcome place for him. It's not like when Jericho, you know, that JBL was actually the best commentator in that match for AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Because the comparisons to AJ and Chris are pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why we all got super excited when we see that. And, you know, I like the tease at the end with the handshake. It's like, maybe there's more of this. And a little side note, Dean Ambrose was supposed to throw AJ Styles out of the Rumble, but Kevin Owens talked management into him throwing out that it would make more sense.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know if that the feud was planned at that point or anything, but he's like, it makes no sense for Dean to throw him out because Dean's a babyface. I'm a heel. I talk shit to people. If I talk shit and say welcome to WWE and throw him out, it makes sense. I'm the heel. I get the heel heat. If Dean throws it out and you're going to have him be your number two guy, he's going to get heel heat against Triple H, who's going to be a semi-babyface here because of NXT. You don't want that. So Kevin Owens talked him out of a situation that could have been very bad.
Oh, yeah. And it worked out. Like, now we're kind of going, who's feuding with? I think that's the biggest question, even after the semi-handshake and the pullback, and you're kind of like, oh, what's going on?
Well, there's three feuds we're wondering for WrestleMania right now. We think we know Jericho's. We think we do.
Yeah.
We think it's Ambrose. And then it's like, who's Kevin Owens feuding with and who's AJ? Is it each other? Or one of them facing The Undertaker? Or is Sheamus facing The Undertaker?
For the first time, I don't know the full WrestleMania card.
Or is Braun Strowman facing The Undertaker?
Don't say that. You're not allowed to say that.
That's the rumor. It's Sheamus, Kevin Owens. I mean, maybe we'll get our wish with Finn. I don't know. But
I've heard no, we're not getting our wish.
Okay, then good. We'll talk about it then. But yeah, and speaking of Kevin Owens, easy redemption match against Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
Dolph Ziggler starting to look like a job guy. Very sad.
Yeah. For a guy that, at the end of 2014, heading into 2015, looked really hot, not looking so hot right now.
I mean, at least he's got his comedy career to fall back on.
Yeah?
I don't know. I don't know what there is for Dolph at Mania. I guess he's Andre Battle Royal.
Yeah. That's going to be it for him.
Unless they're doing something giant for the IC title again. Maybe they're doing another IC title ladder match.
Maybe.
Which, I'd rather have just some random single matches. I think that's a waste. Especially if you throw an AJ Styles in there, which they could do, since he kind of seems compounded maybe with some of those guys. I wouldn't really want that.
No, and neither would I.
Same with Kevin Owens. I want Kevin Owens to have a single match, Jericho, Ambrose, all those guys to have singles matches.
Yeah. It's going to be tough, though. We know how tough it is to find a spot on the WrestleMania card, but I'm hoping that certain people do find a spot that pay off.
But, you know, all in all, it was a nice introduction for AJ. I think that, you know, he did his best. He's a Styles Clash once again. We'll get to that in a second here. I do think, again, though, that I have to pick in the commentary there. Michael Cole has probably known about this for over a month. Study his damn moveset. Know that that's a Pele kick. Like, it's not that hard. Yeah. Know that that's a Pele kick. Know what all his moves are. JBL did a fine job. And same with Byron Saxton. Like, he needs to know this stuff. Yeah. Why is he out there? Like, why do you have a 3-man booth if not one of you can go Pele kick?
Yeah. It just seemed like, I think, you know, give it a little bit of time. I think Vince is going to start to notice that, man, this other guy on SmackDown is good. And
oh, and just, you know, I got to say one thing really, too, about the SmackDown crew, because then we'll get to the big statement. Jerry Lawler seems re-energized. He's classic Jerry Lawler heel, and I love it.
He seems to have his JR back in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That helps him out.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, how refreshing is it to see Jerry Lawler as a heel again? He's just a natural heel.
Oh, yeah, he is.
So it's just good to see him like talk shit about AJ today on the match on SmackDown. And we'll get to that because we got to move on. So let's talk about the big segment on Monday Night Raw, the one that everybody was talking about, Golden Truth.
There's probably one other segment, but Golden Truth. The first thing I thought of was Booker Truth or
Book Dust.
Book Dust. I'm perfectly okay with this. This gives both guys something to do. It could be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And both of them are these weird little characters that are comedy schnicks, and you need comedy in pro wrestling.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with comedy. I'm fine with it, and they had a nice little thing on SmackDown as well. The other comedy bit, and then we'll get to the big one. Long live Bo Ryder.
That's where I was going to go. Bo Ryder beat Flo Ryder.
He really did, though. He actually did. Flo Ryder was terrible.
Oh, yeah. And I'm, for the first time, I'm not crapping on Bo Dallas.
Neither am I. I put him in my future stars. I literally like Bo Dallas. How did this happen?
I don't know. This is freaky. But
Bo Dallas was like turned the TV off heat for me.
Yeah.
And now I can't get enough of him.
The social outcast, for everything that they've been through, it's still fun to watch them.
And I'm really starting to kind of even dig Adam Rose a little bit. I mean, you got a little heat online for some independent fans for using Red Dragon for Heath Slater. But, you know, all of a sudden, like, to me, am I crazy? Does Heath Slater seem like the least interesting guy in that group to you?
Yeah, he's kind of hit a little bit of a wall.
Because, like, I want to see more Curtis Axel whenever. I he's my most underrated wrestler of the year from last year. I think Adam Rose, I think if we had the award for they dropped the ball the most after that E60 piece, they could have just done so much with Adam Rose.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he's not part of the Express. He gets to kind of be this cheeky character, and we know he can wrestle, so that's great. Adam Rose is going a good direction. And Bo is just... he's great.
Yeah.
He could be the new Santino.
You believe.
Believe. All right. Let's talk to the segment that I'm probably going to get the most hate mail on.
Nah.
Let's talk about the Rock segment that I wasn't a huge... I was 50-50 on.
Can I just say...
You go first because I'm going to bring this segment way down.
I enjoyed the segment because I enjoy the Rock. Mm-hmm. Anytime the Rock pops up. The only thing I didn't like about it was the Rusev Lana schnick. There's no need for that. That's childly and pettish behavior. Lana has heat. You don't need to do that on air.
Slut shaming in 2016. That was unfucking necessary.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain point where.
And you know what the worst part about that too is? Number one, that Lana had to take that abuse. Number two, that her husband had to be the one that just. Looks at him and just has to watch his wife get abused like that on national television and can't do a damn thing about it. I'm surprised Rusev, number one, agreed to it, and number two, didn't quit.
Well...
Or number three, didn't speak up. But from what I've heard, like, you speak up, you're getting de-pushed all over again. And Rusev, you know, we don't think he can get lower, but... I guess, you know, whatever. And both of us love Ruru.
I miss Ruru.
I love Rusev. I think he's a talented wrestler. I think he's really funny. I think he's great on the mic. It's sad to think where he was last year to this year.
Yeah. He really fell from grace. And, like, that was the biggest thing from The Rock. But, I mean, you cannot... Like, there's only been a couple guys that have outperformed The Rock on the microphone.
Yep.
But The Rock... We don't have to go into that.
No.
The Rock came out. He had the crowd chanting llama penises.
The Rock was entertaining.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But at the end of the day, what was the point?
And this is where I let you go on your rant.
Okay, first of all, one of the most underrated part about that promo, I have watched it back, New Day bringing up the Rikishi spot.
I love that.
We did it for the people. I think... You have to be a really dedicated wrestling fan to get that. I laughed hard at that. I'm not going to lie. I laughed at llama penises. I laughed at quite a few things of The Rock. I think I kind of set off my mind for a bit when The Rock came off and didn't try to be the cynical asshole about what is this doing. after it goes on, though, and the Hogan line apparently got heat, but not on him, because what are they going to do? And that's the first time we've heard the name Hulk Hogan on WWE TV in about 6 months. So yep. That's interesting that apparently didn't even cut it out of the Hulu version either. So
The Rock can do whatever he wants. I think at
interesting
this point,
side note.
Yeah, I think Vince has come to the understanding of he's just going to do whatever he wants. Just go do it. Make me money. And mm-hmm. Just do it.
But what I was going to say was I think this segment was fine. It did its point. It spiked ratings up. They outshined the X-Files, The Bachelor, all the top things in their time slot at that point. Great, because that The Rock spiked it, and maybe that's the purpose of it. But I needed to know what he was doing for WrestleMania, and they built it as a superstar is returning. So, you know, people were thinking Undertaker, Batista, Bryan. I think most people thought it was The Rock.
Yeah.
But when you say someone's returning, I'm taking it as this guy is back in the company full-time. And The Rock, to me, well, 100% awesome and great and everything, was only there because he was home in Miami shooting Ballers.
It was convenient.
Yes. So, I don't know. I'd like to know what his involvement is in WrestleMania or when we're going to see him again. And I didn't get any of those answers. So, I'm disappointed in that aspect. Segment as a whole was a success. Let me just say that. It was an absolute success.
I think the one thing that I liked about it was the interaction between the New Day, because I think both of them played well off each other.
New Day held on really good. They yeah. stayed with him.
And the New Day, like Xavier Woods, a sharp cookie, mm-hmm. and they had a few little subtle references that if you didn't catch it first, you would miss,
yeah.
which I really liked. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you knew the three of them were going to be eating rock bottoms.
People's spotlight. Elbows.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. But
yeah.
You still remember that the New Day got a few shots in.
Yeah.
And you could see that The Rock was struggling not to laugh in the middle of the ring when they were doing some of their schnick.
Yeah.
So to me, that helped them. You know, the Usos were getting a little booed. There seems to be a little bit of backlash on the Usos at time for whatever reason.
And yeah, they've tried this whoa, whoa, whoa chant too, and they're trying to get it over. Some crowds, I think it buys into the more family-friendly crowds, let's say.
Yeah.
They buy into it, but the smarter crowds aren't really a huge fan of it.
No. And I like the Usos. I think they're a great tag team. But mm-hmm. I think that, you know, there's something more to the Usos that aren't clicking right now. I don't know what it is.
Is it connection to Roman Reigns for some people?
Yeah, I think that plays a role in it too. But I think having The Rock come out with them kind of helps add. Kind of it worked better than what it did with Roman. So
I will say this: I think at this point, you know, I was gonna say I was gonna die in this hill, thinking The Rock was gonna have a match. I think I've died on that hill.
Yeah, you.
I think my best guess is that McMahon will be in Hunter's corner, and The Rock will be in Roman's.
So does it mean we get to see McMahon rock bottom one last time?
More than likely, I suppose. And I think you have The Rock, the end, holding his... And maybe the Usos come down and the whole Samoan family gets in the ring and celebrates together.
Kind of like what the Brett moment at 10.
Yeah, that's what I think the moment is.
Dean will come out. You know what would be funny is if they
Dean
had...
comes out and he has lust in his eyes. Yeah. I've seen your lust!
Who it's lusting for that title.
He's lusting for that title, yeah.
We got Macho Man on Stick Boy Podcast now.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. But yeah, I think I think it's a good chance that's what happens.
What's the likelihood of The Rock hitting a rock bottom on Roman Reigns at the end of the show?
0.1.
Yeah. It's wishful thinking.
Zero reason for it to happen.
Yeah.
I think next year we're probably going to get Roman Reigns and Cena.
Yeah, passing the torch. The official passing yeah. of the torch.
Yeah, get used to Roman Reigns in the main event, people. Oh, unless I get my way, it's Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles.
If it's Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, that's a match you have to see.
I've had four people tell me that that's what they want the main event to be next year already. Four people have said that's what I want my main event to be next year is... AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins, the main event. I don't want to see them touch until WrestleMania.
Oh, God. Imagine if you kept them separate until then.
Did Tyler Black ever face AJ Styles? Okay. I was hoping they hadn't.
They are two completely different people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One is kind of a rock party CrossFit kind of guy. I don't know party as much, but CrossFit, super about training and doing all that stuff. And one is super gospel family guy.
It would be a parallel, like the parallel people running along the same pathways, and they finally meet.
Who will maybe say, though, it can all start, Joel, because Seth is the Madden up, up, down, down champion. And we know AJ likes video games. You go to his Instagram. Maybe it all starts with AJ winning the Madden 17 championship.
Ooh, Xavier Woods helps promote the storyline on his show. That'd do him well.
Maybe. So yeah, Rock segment, thumbs up from both of us.
Yep.
Just we would have liked to seen a little bit more hint to his WrestleMania inclusion. Yep. And Lana stuff
was unnecessary.
Was unnecessary. The Big Show stuff, by the way, terrific.
Oh, that was perfect.
And can I say, I'm going to go on this. I like The Miz. I think they used The Miz perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
I think they used him perfectly there, and I think they used him perfectly on SmackDown. Some people, I've seen tweets about them, and say, oh, The Miz needs to go away. I think they're using The Miz perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I think you need guys like The Miz to stay around. He has credibility because he's headlined to WrestleMania and been a world champion, and there's still something in beating The Miz.
Yeah. It's devalued now, but...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let's hit on the announced main event for Fastlane. Yeah. So who's eating that pin between Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, or Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar, right? Brock, definitely. No, so Dean, well, I liked, and we can kind of hit on SmackDown with this now as well. I liked in the highlight reel the tension between Roman and Dean. And in fact, the promos for Roman on Raw and on SmackDown, not too bad.
No.
I liked his serious demeanor. When he came in, JoJo asked what he's doing, and he's like, I'm here, and blah, blah, blah. He was very low-key. I've told you, I like when Roman's low-key like that, and serious and focused. And then I liked that he was able to be playful with Dean, but then get serious. So good job on the mic this week for Roman Reigns. He gets a thumbs up from me on that, but Dean just killed it on the mic on the highlight reel. I like the tension between the two of them.
Oh, yeah. And you got to think maybe someone screws Dean. Maybe Dean's close and someone comes up and screws him. Building program.
Maybe. Break the walls down.
Yeah.
Although there was really nothing between Jericho and Dean, really.
No, and I've noticed that. And it really makes me think it's going to be Jericho and Styles at Mania. Because you got to think you had to bring Jericho in for a reason.
He wanted. But then who's Dean facing?
He's going to be defending.
Kevin Owens facing?
Maybe they'll have a I Quit match.
Who, Ambrose and Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
All intents and purposes, I've heard they're done.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I don't know. This is so hard. I don't like this.
And I have always talked about, like, Fastlane we're not huge fans of. I'm old school. I liked when pay-per-views for WrestleMania had, like, a big-time build.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's kind of like last year. It's Cena and Rusev on Fastlane, but then they face of WrestleMania. I would have rather just tease Cena and Rusev for a solid 2 months.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like Fastlane's kind of like, at least with the Elimination Chamber, it makes so much sense this year to have the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah.
I think we kind of were hoping that maybe brought it back, but it should be interesting to see where they go with that. I think, you know, put your money down on Roman Reigns, folks.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think let's talk a little bit about SmackDown.
There's a few parts to hit on. Number one, I talked about, a little surprised they did Charlotte and Natty.
Yeah.
Because that was such a big match in NXT when it happened, and they just kind of gave it away. No build to it, and Natty was knocked out so fast. So a little shocked about that. But Becky came out, so maybe still, like you said, I think maybe the triple threat is at Fastlane between those three, and then there'll be a messed up finish between Charlotte and Sasha, and then you go off with those guys maybe at Mania.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
The biggest news out is something that we didn't think would happen.
Yeah.
And that was that the Styles Clash was hit.
Well, I think my biggest thing was, I think this was a testing ground. They know Curtis Axel knows what he's doing in the ring. So it was like, well, we'll have it due to a guy that knows what he's doing.
And that we can afford to be injured.
Yeah.
No offense.
And they see that he can hit it, and then I think he gets the green light to hit it a few more times. And it's going to be that only once in a blue moon. And I mean, you gotta have give people a reason to watch SmackDown. People read spoilers. What more way than seeing the first ever Styles Clash in a WWE ring?
Other than that, there really wasn't too much on SmackDown. Mauro and Aloe, though, I have to say, if we did an MVP this week, I think there's a lot of guys we can put it down with. AJ had a great week. Jericho had a great week. But Mauro Ranallo, I just want to take a second, Joel, and just say, like, as a play-by-play guy myself, this guy is terrific. It's gonna be the, we had that J.R. Cole debate for the longest time when he was there. It's like, let's just let J.R. be on Raw. Michael Cole has to look over his shoulder because Mauro Ranallo is the best announcer in professional wrestling today, period.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one even closer to him with respect to JR, who is going back to New Japan and taking Mauro's spot, coincidentally. And JR's great, but Mauro Ranallo is like, he calls it like it's a real match. It's like I'm hearing Mike Goldberg call the match, like MMA wise. It makes me addicted to every match that he calls. I want to tune into SmackDown just to hear him call matches.
And I think that's going to be a big selling point, is you get to hear this guy that is brings a level of expertise, a level of realism to his calls that you don't get from a lot of guys, that you get drawn into and you fall into his web of how he calls the match, how he tells the story, how he adds to the match. Because that's one of the biggest things, is these guys either hinder or help a match. You look at when they start talking about other things while a match going on. I'm like, well, if you don't care, then why do I care?
No, and you don't have, and I, like I said, Jerry Lawler, much more improved. He seems re-energized to do what he does. Baron, I forget that he's there half the time. I don't know why they have a three-man booth there. I need a program. I think a three-man booth is unnecessary. As someone that's done a three-man booth, they're the very hardest thing to manage, to try to get people in their time in. And like normally, like if you have a three-man booth in sports, you're the play-by-play guy, then you have the color, then you have the stats guy. In WWE's case, there should just be one guy that does promotional stuff. Maybe go to Byron and be like, check out the network or check out this tonight. But Cole's doing all that as well. So in a dream of mine, you'd have Michael Cole no longer does play-by-play. He shills everything. Mauro calls the stuff. And I'm sorry, JBL, you've been up and down, but I'd rather have Lawler back in that chair. Michael!
No, I totally agree with you.
If I had my absolute wish, I'd have, you know who I'd have in that color commentator chair?
Who?
Corey Graves.
That'd be really good.
My ultimate team would be Mauro and Corey Graves. That would be the ultimate of ultimate dreams.
Yeah, he's really shined bright, and he shined bright on NXT this week, which I think
There's. Oh, go ahead.
there's maybe one or two things from NXT that are worth.
Oh my God. So I watched NXT and SmackDown tonight, and NXT was, what, 56 minutes? And there was just so much more jam-packed in there than there was on SmackDown. It was ridiculous.
I love that triple threat match at the end.
Triple threat was great. I love the name of American Alpha. I think that's good. Gable and Jordan was a fine name. And shouts to Jason Jordan. This guy was a jobber. And now he's in the hottest tag team, maybe in professional wrestling, other than maybe the Young Bucks.
Did cream rises to the top?
Nia Jax looked a little bit better in her setting. I like Liv more. I thought she did a good job in selling and stuff. I'd like to see a little bit more from her and see what she could do. I also liked it because she was wearing Jordan 7s. But nonetheless, I thought, decent look to her. I'd like to see a little bit more out of her. But Nia Jax, a little bit better. I'm still not feeling the bodysuit by Nia Jax.
Yeah, there's something not quite clicking. I think there's talent with Nia Jax. It's just
I do
timing.
too. I do too. It's in her blood. And then what else happened? Oh, the return of Alex Riley. Really bizarre. But I like what they're doing. I really like the angle on it. And I think he may screw Sami Zayn.
Ooh.
He's a guy, I was telling you, we did it. We spoiler alert, we have a really cool future pod coming on the future stars of the of this year in WWE, and Alex Riley's a guy I've always liked, and I really liked his energy in the match. I like the promo afterwards. I like the way they're going with Alex Riley. I think it's an underused guy that they had on the roster. I think it was a really cool segment with Alex Riley.
Yeah, him talking about always being overlooked and not being the guy of attention. I totally agree with you.
And then the triple threat match, of course, fantastic. Even Baron Corbin looked maybe the best I've seen him in a long time.
Yeah, and compliments to both guys in the ring that's working with him. Like, Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe are both phenomenal talents. Really enjoyed what they brought. It was a perfect ending. Now you have a little twist, like who's going to be in it. And from all indications I've heard, because of that screwy finish, we get basically a one-hour NXT show that's at least a half hour, 40 minutes, that is a Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, 2 out of 3 falls match.
Wow. So, has that been taped yet?
That's been taped, so I know the results already. I know most of the NXT Dallas card.
We'll talk about that off the air then, because I'm interested in that, but I don't want, obviously our viewers don't want to know. But Dallas looks pretty good?
I'm tempted to just pull the trigger and list some things off that I think...
let's save it. I don't want... I mean, we're going to say one thing for now that's happening in Dallas. Is it before I get to the... Because we're going to start sneaking into the news here really quickly. Anything else from NXT that you liked? Do you like the Drifter?
He's all right. There's some hit and misses with stuff. I like the Enzo promo.
Yeah, very intense. I don't like them going after Dash and Wilder again, because I want American Alpha to challenge them. That's who should have the tag titles.
Well, you may or may not get your wish.
Because there's this... let me just say, one of the things I love about American Alpha, it's kind of like what Bayley has. They're knocking off all the former champions.
Yep.
I like this build-up to them. And the vaudevillain scenes, too. Interesting. I'm wondering if that means they're dropping the gimmick or they're just becoming evil.
I think they're becoming evil.
It was very interesting, though. A buddy of mine, Jermaine, wanted to say, like, he was very high on the vaudevillains and thinks they can have a good career. And I do worry it's, you know, I hate to make this something. I think they're in the Tyler Breeze. We're going to make this a segment. They're in the Tyler Breeze zone.
It's the Tyler Breeze zone, yeah.
Where you have a gimmick that works in NXT, it's cute and everything, but that gimmick's not going to work in the main roster.
I think there's some gimmicks that work on the main roster, and there's some gimmicks that definitely don't.
Ascension's in that as well. It's not even the Tyler Breeze zone. It's the NXT gimmick zone, and Ascension didn't work. Tyler Breeze didn't work. Hell, at times, Paige doesn't work. Not much from NXT has really worked coming to the main roster. Kevin Owens is probably the best so far. Yeah. And the girls. The girls have done a tremendous job. The women, mind you.
So all in all this week, I think it was a strong week for...
WWE, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, with the rumors of everything, AJ comes in, someone else came to NXT, which we're going to talk about. Yeah, we're going to have to talk spoilers for NXT. Leave a little watermark, Joel, on the thing, and we'll see where the spoilers are in a second. But, you know, overall, good week for the company. You know, I think a lot of positive. I'm excited to watch WWE programming. You know, it's for a bit there, it was a little bit of a chore for both of us. But, I mean, for me, it's great. I just watched the show on PVR. But I, you know, if I didn't have other commitments that I have on Monday, I'd be 100% ready to watch the show live.
Oh, yeah. No, I get to watch it live, so I'm quite thrilled.
Absolutely. Anything else before spoiler time?
I think we hit on some news and then jump into spoilers. Give a little space so that you can hear the news, and then if you want to duck out at the end, you can duck out.
Okay,
at the end.
So my news. Dave Bautista, he was at the Royal Rumble. He was backstage.
Bullshit.
Nope.
Source.
Meltzer, Mike Johnson.
Okay, yeah, no, it's
Bleacher
true.
Report.
What was he doing back there?
They want him for WrestleMania, but they just want him for WrestleMania or something around that age. And he kind of what he's... They wanted him kind of in a non-wrestler type of role, I believe.
Yeah.
But he, like he said, if I come back, I come fully back.
Yeah.
Plus Guardians.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like we're going to get anything on Dave Bautista, but that was one guy I was really hoping for, and there's the latest update on Dave Bautista.
All right.
Well, but he was at the Rumble. Can you imagine, Joel, if that music hit and they just hadn't come out?
Oh. He's the hired gun that Triple H is bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his world title reign.
Mm-hmm. Because he's the guy that took out Roman Reigns, essentially, out of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So he's the, like, he's the one guy that's like the strongest against Roman other than Brock.
He would be. That would, that'd been perfect.
So, yeah, you know, there's been talks with Dave Bautista. It seems like they're done because of what Guardians is. But there's talks, so who knows what can happen.
No.
Other news is that Jeff Hardy isn't going anywhere. He's re-up with TNA. Seems like he's ready to retire with TNA.
Yeah.
So people that wanted that return back, not me. I give two shits. He is staying there. Although I will admit, when he was hot, he was hot.
He was hotter than Cena.
Yeah, he was hotter than Cena. I remember going to a house show, not a house show, a Raw, and they just showed him in the Titantron, and the pop was just unreal.
Oh yeah, I fully believe it.
He was over, and the Wolves have re-signed with TNA as well.
No big loss, I think. I think WWE and NXT will survive.
And now let's talk about the biggest part from TNA this week, where they looked like little children.
Yeah, I don't want to hit on this too much.
No, it's done and over with. It was just them being little babies. Their girlfriend broke up with them, and they wanted everyone on the internet to know that.
Yep.
And the legal document was about as legal as a Charmaine in my bathroom. Leave it at that?
Yeah.
Leave it at that. Go ahead.
So Nikki Bella needs neck surgery.
That's unfortunately, yeah. So it's going to be a while till we see Nikki back. That rack attack.
Not good.
Not great, Bob.
No, not at all. Lana has nuclear heat.
Yep, but did she get her punishment from the Rock thing?
I hope so, because there may be more down the line.
Okay, so what is the nuclear heat on? Is it still for the tweets and
apparently
the stuff against
she
Paige?
Had a bunch of comments. This is just rumblings I've heard, so whether they're true or not remains to be seen. But from what I've heard, she may have said a few things backstage or spoken out of turn on certain things.
Two.
Don't know.
Hmm.
She just really rubbed people the wrong way. And that's what's caused the...
You know what? It's the Tiffany syndrome. If you remember, Drew McIntyre was married to Tiffany?
Yeah.
And McIntyre, where was he? Intercontinental champion. Vince dubbed him a future world champion. Drew McIntyre, the Rocket was attached to him. And then Tiffany did some stuff backstage, messed some stuff up, and McIntyre was never the same ever again.
Yeah.
And he's kind of the same with Rusev. And same with John Morrison and Melina.
Yep.
Melina said some stuff backstage and it kind of messed up John Morrison. This is why you have to beware when you marry someone in the back or date someone in the back. They're going to affect you one way or another. You're connected to your spouse.
It plays a role.
So Zack Ryder better be wary what Emma does. I mean, you know, he may become a jobber.
I don't think he can job anymore.
I don't think he can go any lower.
No.
They already put him with Mojo Riley. How much more can you punish a guy?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, this is true.
Apparently, there were guys in the back that expected Daniel Bryan to return at Sunday. They fully expected to see him return.
Hmm.
And it didn't happen, and that's where more of the news came from, that Vince basically looked at Bryan and said, "You're done."
Hmm.
And so, Brian, it's not looking good for the Yes Man.
It could all be a swerve. We don't know. Hopeful thinking.
Hideo Itatami is not close to returning at all.
No, and like I said, from what Kurt Bauer has reported, there's some rumblings that he may be back to Japan by next year.
Yeah, I think he just got to give it a chance. Like, if you're hurt, they're not going to rush you. There's no point in doing it.
What did he have again?
A shoulder injury.
Mm, and yet John Cena's in the gym. Fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. That's another little news, that John Cena is Superman. Don't know how, don't know why. Somehow
he went to Germany with Kobe. When Kobe got his knee surgery and was miraculously like fixed, or maybe he went to Miami with Alex Rodriguez. Got some special stuff down there. Maybe he went with Peyton Manning's wife and shopped for some stuff.
There'll always be those rumors, but I just got a feeling that it's just genetics, that he's just...
Genetics called human growth hormone.
It's possible. It's totally possible. But yeah. The second biggest news...
Is HGH illegal in WWE?
I don't know.
Because... Yeah, I mean, I think there's some benefits to it, to be honest. That's a different discussion for a different day, but I wouldn't be shocked if Cena uses it.
If it's for a healing process, then maybe.
Because Peyton, the rumor is with the stuff, and you know, this will be the big thing going to Super Bowl week, that Peyton used it on his neck when he was out that year in Indy.
Yeah.
So I could see Cena, you know, when he had that first one, maybe he used it. Just something to keep an eye on, that maybe we roll around the rewind the tape like, Josh was a genius.
Or Josh was paranoid.
Probably paranoid.
One or the other. So here's something for you, Josh. So this is from the Wrestling Observer. And apparently Finn Balor will not be coming up to the main roster till later in the year, much later in the year, because they want to have him as the face of the NXT brand.
Yeah, another guy, another MLW, Court Bauer, has also maybe said that maybe he never comes up.
I have doubts on that.
So do I. I think he's coming night after WrestleMania. I think it just makes the most sense.
You know who's rumored to come up the night after WrestleMania, and this is when the news is?
Oh, please don't be Baron.
No.
Joe?
Yep.
Ooh.
So he's rumored to be the one that... It's kind of this... From what I've read, it's kind of this pendulum of either Joe will do it, or Joe will win the NXT title and stay on NXT, and Finn will come up. Or Finn will drop the title. No, Joe will lose his match to Finn. And then...
Did you just give away spoilers, Joel?
No, yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you did.
But you don't know what type of match it is, so...
We still know who wins that match.
Yeah, well, it was gonna happen.
Whatever! We're just going to save the rest for later.
Yeah. So, basically, I think we're coming to a close. But right now, that was the second biggest story, was either Joe or Finn will come up. It looks like Samoa Joe.
I will say this. I worry badly about Joe in the main roster.
Yeah, I don't know if they know how to treat Joe like...
Treat him like Rusev.
I hope
the not. The first year of Rusev.
Yeah.
He was done great.
Oh, yeah.
So treat him like the first year of Rusev.
He
can't lose for at least 6 months.
Yeah, he's got to be dominant. And then he has to have a feud with AJ Styles.
Of course.
It's just the way it has to be.
These two have wrestled each other in Florida. Other companies.
They actually, they listed that AJ fought with Sting and Joe in Florida. And they said that AJ fought Punk in Chicago.
Yeah, it did. The one that Chris Hero was at.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor had some stuff out there, too.
Yeah.
They normally name Ring of Honor by name, because half their freaking talent is from Ring of Honor.
Yeah, they just kind of got to accept what Ring of Honor is. It's a nice feeder system for them.
Yeah, well, Lord knows, in the past 10 years, Ring of Honor has contributed more to the wrestling business than TNA ever did.
Yeah. This is very true, but the cherry on the top, the way to close this podcast out in a nice, perfect way, we're 2 out of 4, Josh. We have Shinsuke Nakamura coming to NXT, and I just want to say this is perfect. He needs to adapt to the WWE style. He needs to improve his English. What better place to do it than in NXT? And who he's facing at TakeOver in Dallas just made my heart skip a beat. I'm so excited for this. This is going to be... They're building Nakamura, the King of Strong Style, and they said it on the website too. So that's another little moment where I'm like, yay! They're giving him all the chances to succeed, and I think he's going to run with it.
Who's he facing?
Spoilers.
Spoilers. One second. I just want to check if there's any last news really quickly that there can be. But like I said, those are the TNA signings. Oh, also, a little bit of other TNA news that's interesting, Joel. They're not going to do house shows this year.
No.
They want to save money.
Makes sense.
Very Kurt Angle, considering an MMA fight and the rumored opponent. Are you ready?
No.
Are you ready? Who do you think it is? Who do you think it is?
Oh, Kimbo Slice?
Yep. So, yeah. Kimbo Slice. And that's about it. Jericho, Ambrose, also still highly rumored. And Lucha Underground Season 2 starting.
Ooh.
For the first time, I believe Thursday in the States, but first time ever in Canada, live, legal, on Sunday.
Ooh.
And I will be covering it for everybody.
Yay!
And,
So, close the podcast off.
Yeah, Bret Hart said that was the worst Royal Rumble that he's ever seen.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, well...
Grandpa Brett didn't get his milk, apparently.
Yeah.
So hopefully everyone enjoyed the show.
So we're just gonna Sopranos everyone.
We're gonna go into spoiler talk. I'm gonna give the whole actual ending at the end. So if you don't want spoilers, arrivederci. Catch you next week. You got 5 seconds to get off, you filthy animals. 1, 2, 3, 4. Spoilers!
Okay, so...
Austin Aries is in the company!
Yep.
Yes! And he's got t-shirts, and he's facing Baron Corbin.
Yay!
And his t-shirt sold out as well.
And Shinsuke Nakamura will face Sami Zayn.
Holy shit.
See? Skip a beat.
Yep. So that means we're going to have it at WrestleMania. We have Joe and Finn and Sami versus Nakamura.
Yep. Yeah, at the NXT Dallas show.
And we have...
Oksana versus Bayley.
Asuka!
Asuka.
It's not Oksana, damn it!
Oh,
I was watching her on NXT today. I was like, please don't say Oksana, Joel. Please don't say Oksana. She's fired. She's Lithuanian. Asuka!
Asuka. I blame my lack of pronunciation.
Yes! There's no X. There's no Zana even in it.
I don't know. It is how it pops off.
It frustrates me to no end. Same the way that you say Gabe Sapolsky. You're like, Spolsky.
Bolsky?
Yeah. Anyways.
The NXT tag team title match is Dash and Dawson versus Enzo and Big Cass. Wait, no, I'm wrong. Sorry. I got that wrong. It's Chad.
Yes. Holy shit, this show's gonna be good.
I know.
Divas.
Diva is Bayley versus... I don't want to pronounce her name anymore.
Asuka. Holy shit, balls McGraws.
So
this card is stupid.
And it's not even fully complete. You have the debut of Austin Aries.
Versus Baron.
So that'll probably be...
Apollo have?
Apollo doesn't have anyone, but I'm sure they're going to pair Apollo up with someone.
Do we know... Oh, I guess, you know, what could happen. Enzo and Cass versus the Bullet Club.
Well, see, and I've heard a rumor that they would be... They are no longer NXT bound.
Going right to the main roster with AJ?
Yep.
Okay, that's cool.
And that's where I think Finn's going to be up on the main.
I've heard Nakamura is not bound for there very longer either.
No, I think this is just to work with him.
Yeah, and then he's on Raw the next night?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Because you can't get him on WrestleMania.
No.
Yeah, okay, well, him and Sammy, that'll do.
As this podcast will do as we've gone a long time.
Well, there's a lot to cover. We have a pay-per-view in a week, and the every sort of breaking news ever in January. I think we're both kind of hoping February's a little more quiet.
We just get to talk about Raw.
I swear to God, if Jay Lethal or someone else signs a WWE the next this week I'm going to break somebody, or if Roman Reigns is hurt or something, I'm going to kill somebody. It's no more breaking news. No more. I mean, on Friday, the pod's about to go out, ladies and gentlemen, and the Austin Aries news breaks, and then the TNA crybaby toilet paper story breaks.
It just was not good. It was like, this is already severely outdated.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joel, anything else?
Nope. I'm still desperately want that AJ Styles theme song on my phone. I don't think I've ever watched a surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble so many times on YouTube. Just to hear that pop and go,
yee! They don't want none. They don't want none. All right. Well, for Joshua, Adam, William Arbuthnot, and Joel Johnson, make sure you follow us on every single thing of social media that we have. Jawa31 for me, for the Twitter, FreshTake42 to find my other podcasts. Joel Johnson TV to find him on his individual Twitter.
And Instagram.
And Instagram. My Instagram is Jawa31 as well. As far as my Snapchat, you can follow me on Snapchat as Jawa31. Stickboy Twitter is
StickboyYYC.
StickboyYYC. You can find Stickboy Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find my Fresh Take Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And also, you can find the Stickboy Podcast in the Google Play Store. Pretty cool, yay. Hey?
Once it's all set in stone.
Thank you for We Talk Podcast for bringing us on and keeping us rolling in this crazy world of podcasting and talking wrestling. Seriously, those boys, go make sure you check out their podcast and their thoughts on the world of wrestling this week and their Royal Rumble and the week thoughts.
We Talk and, Wrestling.
Of course, until next time, cheers!
It was phenomenal.
They don't want none. Enjoy the day, people.
Well, that will do it for today's podcast. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, Josh, for coming on, as always. Royal Rumble was great. NXT was fun. Raw and SmackDown were good shows. Everything kind of clicked. We have AJ Styles, and we have Bo Ryder. It's going to be a crazy week, but I want to make sure you guys know that next week, me and Josh will have a very special little episode of One Fall where we look at the next 11 months and try to predict who's going to be the brightest star in WWE in 2016. So make sure you stay tuned and check it out.